I found out that while we were away recently on a little family vacation, that the city council of the city of South Lake unanimously approved our plan and proposal to expand this church facility. Now, while that caused the elders, I believe, to be tempted to ask me to go away more often because things get done, nevertheless, it's a moment of great joy and thanksgiving. And this also should alert us to the reality that change is coming. That with the change in the physical dimensions and availability of our building, our present sanctuary seating sort of maxes out at about 240. When the expansion is complete, our sanctuary seating will max out at about 450. We are presently utilizing temporary walls for Sunday school classrooms. The expansion will also include a two-story classroom building addition. So I'm sure that we would be reminded of such things as to whom much is given, much will be required. And we want to be faithful and diligent in our stewardship of all the wonderful blessings with which God has blessed us. And so right now, my understanding from Bob Mackey, our building construction chairman, is that we are not likely to see construction equipment, at least until October. There's still some hoops to jump through and things of that nature, but the city council hoop was a big one. You don't go anywhere without their approval. So that's exciting. Keep the project in your prayers. You'll certainly be informed along the way. But this seemed like the opportune time for us to regroup, reconsider, recalibrate our vision and focus concerning what is Lakeside Presbyterian Church all about. Why are we here? What do we do? And what is our vision and mission and purpose and focus? And there it is for you. Hopefully at some time or other you've seen it. If not, take note of it. If you have seen it, be refreshed in seeing it again. What we want to be is a church that God establishes in South Lake and uses for His glory by impacting South Lake, the Metroplex, and the world, reaching out with the truth of God's Word through the love of God's Son for the praise of God's glory. Hopefully that is implicit if you've been in or around Lakeside for any amount of time, but we want to make it explicit, putting forth this is who we are as a church, reaching out with the truth of God's Word through the love of God's Son for the praise of God's glory. And I'm not sure I can think of anything affiliated with the Christian faith or the Christian life or the Christian witness that doesn't fall within the umbrella of that vision and mission statement. I know that probably no one would take note if a vision or mission statement started with the words something like, we want to establish a church that holds forth the Word of God and through the love of His Son for the praise of His glory, or we want to establish a church. While we would probably all understand the intent of those words, it would be an erroneous proposition to begin with. That would be a wrong premise right out of the gate, and anything else that followed, I think, would be nearly irrelevant. We don't establish the church. We don't grow the church. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. And that's why the words were chosen that were. We want to be a church that God establishes. If it's a church that we establish in our own strength and our cleverness and our ability and our intellect, it may grow, prosper, and thrive before the visible world. I don't think God will be impressed at all, because it's not His church if we establish it. No, God's impressed with the church He establishes. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And then He has given in His Word how He intends to build His church. He intends to build His church through His Word, by the grace of His Spirit, applying that Word to unconverted sinners, enabling them to believe and be saved through the love of His Son, demonstrated to one another and to the watching world, and all for the praise of His glory. That is how God has said, through His Son, He is going to build His church. And we want to jump on board with God's plan, God's program, God's vision, if I can use that word, for His church. And so we're going to look at those three items within the statement. The truth of God's Word, the love of God's Son, the praise of God's glory, beginning today and then in the next two successive weeks. Why reaching out with the truth of God's Word, Pastor Dave? Why not reaching out with the truth of God's Gospel? Isn't that even more foundational? Isn't that more primary than God's Word? And, of course, on one level, yes, it is. Certainly we want to reach out with the Gospel. But while the Gospel is a part of God's, is the heart, rather, of God's Word, it is still just a part of God's Word. There's more in God's Word than just the Gospel. Yes, the Gospel is front and center. Yes, the Gospel is primary. Yes, we don't go anywhere or do anything without the Gospel. But the Gospel is not all that God has revealed. And so we include the Gospel, but we don't exclude all of the rest of God's Word. We want to reach out with all of God's Word, not only the Gospel, but how God's Word impacts and affects and touches every arena of life. God in His Word speaks to everything that we do, everything we are, everything we think, in every arena of life, personally, individually, privately, relationally, in homes, in marriages, in families, in child raising, in business, in commerce, in the economy, in government, in civil magistrates. Everything in all of God's creation is addressed at some point or other, in some place or other, in God's Word, and that's what we want to reach out with. We want to reach out with God's Word as it touches every area of life. And let's not miss the obvious, since it's so increasingly important in our day and age. We're reaching out with the truth of God's Word. There is such a thing as truth. Again, it seemed like it was pretty prominent in the 60s and 70s, and then I didn't hear it so much. And then I was told about the 60s and 70s, of course. And then, it seems to be, you hear it more and more. Well, that's true for you. Whatever you believe, that's true for you, but that's not what I believe. And so what I believe is true for me, and what you believe is true for you. As if there was such thing as alternate or conflicting truths. That is irrational. There is such a thing as truth. There is such a thing as non-truth. And what God gives in His Word is truth. And so we need to be affected and committed to all of what God has revealed in His Word as being truth. Isaiah 45:19. I, the Lord, speak truth. I declare what is right. It was a little headline and a little article in the Star Telegram, I think. I didn't read the article, but I just noted the headline. It was like on page 6 or something. And it was something to the effect of, the majority of Americans now approve of homosexual marriage. Dear ones, I can tell you my immediate reaction was, who cares? Who cares what the majority of American people think, which is obviously and clearly misguided now? What the American people think and what you and I think, we do not establish what truth is. God establishes what truth is. Do you see? It's right there. I love this verse. Isaiah 45:19. I, the Lord, I speak truth. I declare what is right. How many of you believe this is right? Oh, I believe this is right. How many of you don't believe this is right? Oh, I don't believe this is right. Who cares? God, I just want to know, what do you think is right? That's the only thing that is ever going to matter. Does God think it's right? Or does God think it's not right? I mean, that's the beauty of David's confession in Psalm 51. What does David say? Lord, forgive me. I have done evil. What about his constituents and his peers and his adultery? They probably didn't care. But David cared deeply. Why? He said, Lord, I have done what is evil in your sight. And David understood that was the only thing that mattered. Not what anybody else thought. Not even what he thought. What did God think? And so there is such a... that's significant. As we endeavor to be light in a world that is increasingly dark, that light is truth. And is the truth of God's Word. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The Word of God, the truth of God's Word, to guide and direct us along the path of life's journey. And so that's why we lead with that. We reach out with the truth of God's Word. Well, you know, why not the gospel? Well, the truth of God's Word reveals the gospel. And so that's why. Well, why not God's glory? Well, because while it's in nature and creation, God's greater glory is revealed in the Scriptures. The Scriptures lead us to God's glory. What about the love of Christ? Well, the Word of God reveals Christ to us and demonstrates His love for us. And so that's why it all comes back to and begins with the Word, which is what Paul says in Ephesians when he talks about the Scriptures as that upon which the church is founded. That's the other reason why that is listed first in the trio of visionary statements. Reaching out with the truth of God's Word. Ephesians 2:20, the Apostle Paul's talking about the church. He's talking about the New Testament church of Jews and Gentiles. And this is what he says. It's built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. And so there it is. You know, why do we reach out? Why is the Word of God so central? Why is it so important? Because Paul says the church is built on that truth as a firm foundation with the Lord Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. And so this morning, again, as we continue to look at the Scriptures, I mean, if we're going to talk about the significance and importance and critical nature of God's Word, do you think we're going to employ passages from God's Word? You know we are. And so we want to look at the Scriptures and see just several of the important aspects of reaching out with the truth of God's Word. Why? Why are we reaching out with the truth of God's Word? It's because it is the truth of the gospel by which people are saved. It's the truth of the gospel by which people are saved. 1 Peter 1:23. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. How? How are people born again? Not apart from the Word of God, through the living and enduring Word of God. And so that's why in our witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, we always want to employ the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit has not promised to use our clever illustrations. Clever illustrations have their point. Crummy illustrations have their place. But what the Spirit has vowed to use in converting sinners is His Word. And so that's why we want to use the Word of God. Because a person being born again, our being born again, if you've been born again, it has been through the living and enduring Word of God. James 1:18, He chose to give us birth. How? Through, there it is again, the Word of Truth. The Bible so often uses the phrase, the Word of Truth and the Gospel interchangeably, by the way, as synonymous terms. What is the Gospel? It is the Word of Truth. Which Word of Truth is it by which we are saved? It is the Gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, in Him you also, when you heard the Word of Truth, the Gospel of your salvation, there it is, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so our reaching out with the truth of God's Word is first and foremost reaching out with the truth of God's Gospel and salvation through His Son. Next, it is the truth by which we are sanctified. Why this bibliocentric vision of Lakeside Presbyterian Church? It's not only by which the Word of Truth is that by which we're saved, it's also that by which we are sanctified, namely growing in holiness, growing in grace, or as our Charter Catechism says, dying more and more to sin and living more and more to righteousness. Or as one preacher has said it, being less like what we used to be and more like what we ought to be. Those are all synonyms. How does God accomplish that work in us? He does it through the Word, the Spirit of Christ, applying the Word of Christ to our hearts to make us more like Christ. That's what sanctification is. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth. Your Word is truth. And so God is making us to be a different people, different than the non-believing world around us. How is He doing that? He's doing that through the Word. Romans 12, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I would suspect that there are many of you who are acquainted with the J.B. Phillips paraphrase of Romans 12, 2. It's one of my favorites, where J.B. Phillips paraphrases the scripture and he says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I mean, that is a classic turn of a phrase, because that is the world's agenda. The world is trying to squeeze you into its mold. It is exerting positive pressure upon you. The media, friends, neighbors, relatives, it is omnipresent. The world's pressuring you to conform to what they are like. And that's why the Apostle Paul comes in here and he exhorts us. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. How? Be transformed. And this, by the way, this is the Greek word for metamorphosis. It's the Greek word from which we get metamorphosis. And so all of that illustration comes to mind. God is transforming us. He is changing us into something beautiful, the likeness of His Son. How is that transformation taking place? By the renewing of our minds, by being saturated with the Scriptures, the Word of truth. The truth of God's Word is what changes us. 1 Timothy 4:7, train yourself to be godly. And that's often used in reference to what's called the means of grace. What are the things God has said He will use to help us grow? Prayer is one of those things. Fellowship is one of those things. The sacraments are among those things. And the Scriptures is in the equipment. The word train yourself, again, it's the Greek word from what we get our word gymnasium. And so what is Paul saying? He said the same way an athlete goes into the weight room and trains on the apparatus so that they can improve. Paul says to us as Christians, you go into God's weight room, you know, and beginning to lift the barbells of Scripture to strengthen yourself, not for athletic competition, but for godliness. Train yourself to be godly. We have to exert effort in opening the Scriptures and reading them and learning from them. And then 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful. It's not useless. It's useful for these things: teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the woman of God, the young person of God, the child of God can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Scripture equips us to live lives that are good for us and that are a blessing and an encouragement to others. You see why this is where it is, why it's front and center, reaching out with the truth of God's Word, the truth of God's Word that saves us, the truth of God's Word that sanctifies us. And then next, it's the truth of God's Word by which our souls are washed. As we sin and acknowledge and confess our sins, the Lord is faithful. 1 John chapter 1, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. And so we can forgive God can forgive our sins in an instant. We know that. But, you know, I wanted to try to at least approach reality here. I can't be the only one in this room. You have seen things with your eyes you have no business looking at. You have heard things with your ears that you have no business listening to. You have read things in books that you have no business reading, and they have soiled your soul. Now, God has forgiven you for those sins, but how do you get rid of the stains? Those stains that continue to plague your soul. I don't even know why I went there, but I was looking at something or other. I might have been looking at email. And you know the bajillion ads for everything in the universe that's in the sidebar now? I saw one. 7 unusual remedies, household remedies for removing stains. I thought, well, that's interesting. We've got lots of stains in our house. No fault of my wife. We make them, and then she has to go try to clean them. But I clicked on that, and the one that was interesting to me was a toilet bowl cleaner. And this website suggested that for those hardened lime stains, which may or may not be lime, in the toilet bowl, if you take 2 Alka-Seltzers and drop them into the toilet bowl, let them fizz, whatever they do, for 20 minutes, and then just take a little brush, it'll remove all of those stains. That did two things for me. First of all, it makes me want to try it. I have it, you know, just fascinated by that. Secondly, I don't know if I'll ever drink another Alka-Seltzer. if that's what's going on. But there it was. There it was. This is the remedy. This is the remedy for removing stains from your toilet bowl. What is the remedy for removing stains from your soul? And for some of us, our souls more resemble a toilet bowl than a dinner plate. We wouldn't tell each other that, but we know, and God knows, and you know, and I know. What, how do I get? I know Jesus has forgiven me. I know the record of my guilt is gone. I'm not worried about the record of my guilt. I'm worried about the experience of my guilt in my heart. I'm worried about the stains that are there. All of that to say here, what is it? It's the Scriptures. You and I, we need to be washing our souls with the Word of God because that's what removes the stains. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. This isn't a sermon about husbands and wives. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with the water through the Word. There it is. There it is. For whatever yuck we take into our souls through the eye gate or through the ear gate, we need to be flushing our souls out. The other one it reminded me of, I'm there, I may as well use it, is if you get some kind of poison in your eyes, something, and you go to every website, what are you supposed to do when your eyes have been poisoned? Man, hold yourself under a faucet and flush with water. Just flush your eyes with water. We poison our eyes. The stuff we look at, the stuff we gaze at, it's poisoning our eyes. Okay, how do I get rid of the poison? The Scriptures. That's what Paul says. Paul says it's the washing of the water of the Word. And so we need to be, again, just flushing our souls with the Bible. Why? Not in order to attain forgiveness. Jesus has already done that. But in order to have the stains of sin cleansed from our souls for our sake and for God's sake as well. And then another one, why reaching out with the truth of God's Word? Because it's the truth that equips us for spiritual battle. It appears twice in, you know, the Apostle Paul, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against real spiritual powers of darkness. You know, what will avail in that battle? You know, wah, 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 not the arm of flesh. That won't do it. And Paul says, no, you need the armor of God. You need the spiritual weapons. And twice. There's only six pieces mentioned. And two of them have to do with the Scriptures. You see it there in Ephesians 6:14. The belt of truth buckled around your waist, firmly fixed concerning the truth of God's Word. And then Ephesians 6:17, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is what we need as we go out into the world, you know, thinking of our young people. We have, you know, just in our modestly sized church, 10 young adults that are populating campuses all over the country and all over the world who are going out. And, you know, what is going to help them in the day of battle against the world? How will they be able to mount a defense for the reason, for the hope that they have? It's the Scriptures. Paul says, it's the Word of God, it's the truth of God's Word that prepares and equips us and enables us to take our stand in a world that may mock or scorn us. As far as I know, that's about the extent of the risk we run, and I don't minimize that, horrible things, but you and I both know what's going on in other parts of the world, and it's not mocking and ridiculing that people are being slaughtered to death for. It's Jesus Christ. It's their faith in Christ. And how can they stand against that? Only by being equipped with the Word of God. And then certainly the importance of reaching out with the truth of God's Word is because the truth of God's Word is the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why it's the truth of Jesus Christ. And it's the truth of Jesus Christ that Jesus says sets people free. That's what sets people free. Do you see it there in John 8, 31 and 32? Jesus says, if you abide in my word, everything we've just been thinking about and listening to, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus says his words are true liberation theology. Freedom from sin, freedom from guilt, freedom from fear. His words, if we abide in his words, again, it takes effort. It's not automatic. We may be fearful and God relieves our fear, and then we may be fearful again. We just have to go back to God again to have our fears relieved. But if you abide in my word, remain in it, said, then the truth will set you free. And of course, it's not just the truth. It's not just propositional statements alone that set us free. It's the one who is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus said, I'm the truth who sets you free. I'm the one who comes and gives you aid and gives you assistance and gives you encouragement and holds out the gift of eternal life for anyone who seeks me in faith, believing. That's it. That's all you're ever going to get here at Lakeside Church. It's the Bible. 16 ounces to the pound Bible, from the Bible, illustrated by the Bible, supported from the Bible. You know, it's all Bible all the time because it's the truth, and because it's the truth of God's word. And God forbid that we should ever be moved off of that as the platform from which we launch and upon which we would build for God's glory. Let's pray.